Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. If you are just joining me, man, the first hour of today's program is worth going back and listening to. You can always grab the podcast at myfaithradio.com. You go to the Mornings with Carmen page and you can listen to it. Paul Perreault, who produces this program very faithfully, then after we're off the air live, he turns right around and as quickly as possible gets that uploaded so that folks can go and listen later in the day. And if you hear something that you say to yourself, hey, that would be really impactful for God brings somebody to mind, right? Maybe you've got somebody in your life who you know has religious liberty or has criminal justice reform concerns at the, you know, beating in their heart. You're going to want to grab the conversation that I had this morning with Matthew Hawkins, and you're going to want to share that with them. Or maybe you know that there are conversations in your community group, in your church, in your heart about racial reconciliation and the need for Christians to be on the forefront, pressing forward into those conversations. You're going to want to go back and you're going to want to listen to my conversation with John Hambrick and Tisha Hadra about their book, Black and White. And you're going to want to share that with others. Maybe there are people who you say to yourself, I don't even know how to talk that. This is a person that clearly needs to be having the conversation about racial reconciliation, but I don't know where to start that conversation. Like, go back and listen to our conversation and just be unafraid to start where I started, which is like, you know, why are you guys friends? So just use what we're doing here to change and advance the conversations that you're having. And in any way that using the podcast to do that can help you and equip you, that's what we want to do. Thank you for those of you who are texting in today, particularly those of you who live in Wisconsin, about the change of the constituency at the federal court level in your state. If you've got input or ideas, reflections on that, you can text them to me at 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. Every Friday, we try to take a little time with Adam Holtz from Plugged In to check up on what's going to be happening on the big screen and the small screen. So the big screen this weekend, lots of movies coming out. I am going to certainly ask for Adam's quick take on the Unplanned movie and its, I think, surprising popularity. And certainly provocative conversations related to that movie. We're also going to talk about Shazam and things on the small screen, the Twilight Zone reboot and all kinds of other stuff. All right, so Adam Holtz up next right here on Mornings with Carmen. Well, that's the walk-up music for our friend Adam Holtz. Welcome back.
Glad to be on, Carmen. How are you this morning?
I'm well. What's on Plugged In today that everybody needs to go check out?
Well, they need to check out our review of the new movie Shazam.
Shazam! I'm so glad you said it first. Thank you. So that I could then, like, reply. Like, I remember Shazam.
Yeah. I mean, those of us of a certain tender age, remember that RV and the old dude and the young dude driving around. But anyway, I digress. Obviously, this was a TV show in the 1970s, and now this DC Comics character is revisiting the big screen because, as we know, all things old are new again when it comes to movies.
Those of us who remember the show, right? So, like, we're now the ones buying the tickets and taking kids. And so part of this? I think part of this this era that we're in where all of these characters, I mean, in my mind, Batman will always, right, be Adam West. There's not ever going to be another Batman. But I will pay for Batman tickets because I remember Batman and Robin and I can, like, visually see all of that and I'm attracted to that. And so the same is true here, right? There's a wisdom in remaking stuff at an appropriate time where the people with the money who are taking the kids have a fondness for it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, one of the criticisms of DC's comic book movies has been that they've been really dark, and that's been a valid criticism. And so I think they were looking for one of their properties that they could maybe do something a little bit different. This isn't Deadpool, but this certainly has this sort of lighter comedic flair to it that the Deadpool movies have had. That said, if you've seen the trailer and thought, oh, that looks like a light, fun superhero movie for my kids, there are a couple things you need to be aware of here. But before I dive into that, let me just summarize the plot super quickly. This movie is about a 14-year-old boy named Billy Batson. He's a foster kid. He got separated from his mom when he was just really young and never found her and ended up in foster care. And he has been looking for her ever since. He's not a bad kid, but he certainly does some rebellious things because of his upbringing. He ends up with a new foster family that has a whole bunch of foster kids, and they're fantastic. That's really the best thing in this movie, is it shows a terrific foster family, and we love that. And in the middle of that, he gets zapped by this dying ancient wizard named, go ahead and say it, Carmen.
Shazam!
There you go. Thank you. And Shazam lives in this sort of almost Hades-ish underworld that's really dark and cavey. And his primary responsibility is to keep the seven deadly sins in check. And they are currently frozen as these monstrous gargoyle-like statues. Well, we know that's not going to last. Old Shazam kicks the bucket just as he hands his powers off to Billy. But in the transition, the seven deadly sins get loose and they inhabit a bad guy, kind of possess him, really. I mean, the movie doesn't use that language, but I don't know how else to think about it when you got seven demons living inside of you. And, you know, he's going to do bad things to the world. And Billy is a 14-year-old kid who's now in an adult-bodied superhero, and not just any superhero, but one that can basically do anything. I mean, he can fly, he shoots electricity, he's bulletproof. He's basically Superman. So, you know, we sort of bounce back and forth between the joy of a 14-year-old boy being an impervious superhero and, oh, we got to tackle this bad guy who has the seven deadly sins living within him. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a jarring story, because the seven deadly sins part is pretty dark. And there are a couple moments of violence here that were kind of shocking to me. People dying in really horrible ways. you know, in addition to that, we have some occultic stuff. At one point, Billy ends up in a strip club. We're not actually in there with him, but again, man, that was the real head slapper for me. It's like, what in the world are we doing putting this kid in a strip club? And then later on, they revisit it, and he ends up there with all of his foster kid brother and sisters. And it's played for laughs, but there's nothing funny about that. And so even though this is a movie that's definitely targeting younger teens, there are enough cautions here that if I'm a parent, I really want to know this stuff ahead of time. And I would encourage you to check out our full review at PluggedIn.com and just make sure you know what you're getting into here. I don't think I'm going to let my 12-year-old see it. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that that's wise counsel, and we genuinely appreciate you giving us that kind of wisdom. Like, that's really what we need, Adam. So thank you so much. And again, friends, you're going to go to PluggedIn.com, not only for great movie reviews or movie reviews that are going to help you make decisions about what to see and what not to see and when to see them, but also all kinds of really cool blogs. And there's one there right now called Forget Ghosts and Goblins, the things that go bump in the night. What's really scary is technology. There's some cool stuff on Plugged In about that as well. Hey, Adam, when we come back, I'd love to get your sort of quick take on where we're at in the unplanned movie in terms of, are you surprised at how popular it's been? And maybe some other thoughts about that when we come back. And then we're going to talk about the small screen. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, friends, we're going to take one quick break, and then I'll be back with Adam Holtz from Plugged In.
A word which transforms him in a flash into the mightiest of mortal beings, Captain Marvel.
All right, I couldn't resist. So continuing my conversation with Adam Holtz from Plugged In. Now we've just confused people because they're like, what? Shazam is Captain Marvel?
That's
but
right.
Right? Like, that's a little confusing.
It's very confusing. We have two Captain Marvel movies in theaters right now.
So,
but we're just going to walk past that because we got other
we
things
are.
To deal with.
We are. We're going to walk past that. We're going to walk past that. Let's, hey, I've been, I mean, pleasantly surprised, but I've been surprised by the, I'm going to use the word popularity of the unplanned movie. What's been your reaction and response?
Well, I haven't been surprised. My sense was when I saw it, I thought every now and then you see something and you think, I think this is going to catch. I think this is going to touch something that people are going to want to talk about. And I think the controversy has helped them. The controversy over the ratings, the controversy over temporarily being blocked from Twitter, the controversy over, you know, most outlets not taking advertising. I mean, talk about trying to fight a marketing battle with both hands tied behind your back. These guys have had people slam doors everywhere. And I think in our time of social media, those sorts of stories get traction. I think it's a solid movie. I think it's an important movie. I think Abby Johnson and the team behind the movie have done a great job promoting it, even with those handicaps. So, I had a sense that it was going to do well. It's always hard to know ahead of time how well something will do, but I actually am not surprised by what's happened here.
So Samantha Bee has, like, you know, told people not to see it, and the reaction has been, why does Samantha Bee not want me to see this film? Like,
right?
Like, totally. People are like, why does she not want me to see it? Does she not think I'm, like, what? It's fascinating.
And
it's fascinating. So we're going to encourage people to see it.
People need to go see it. You know, again, checking out our review and keeping in mind that there are some graphic scenes depicting abortion here. The most graphic, and I think the most difficult for me, is, you know, we watch an ultrasound during an abortion, so it's not blood and guts in the picture, but we know what's happening. And I think this movie is pulling back the veil on the sanitized language that we use to talk about abortion. We talk about it as a choice and a woman's right to choose, and it's her body. And when you watch this movie, you can't help but feel like, well, it's not just her body. There's another body involved here. And you cannot get around that. And I think that those on the left are squirming. You know, they want to say, oh, it's propaganda. It's not real. This isn't how it happens. But it is. They don't have a leg to stand on. We know that the depiction of abortion here is an accurate one. And so, you know, when folks like Samantha Bee try to do a Jedi mind trick on us and say, oh, it's all a bunch of lies – no, it's not, actually. And I don't know how you could deny that if you saw this movie.
Which I think is probably why she doesn't want people to see it, because it is really a movie about, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you know what's happening to a human baby and you see it, you can't unsee that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we sometimes get on the left for issues like this, and I've been mildly surprised to see a couple articles on left-leaning outlets, like there's one in Slate, where they're at least giving it a fair shake for what it's trying to do and trying to examine why this movie has caught people's attention. And that is a more intellectually honest approach than just getting out the it's propaganda brush and trying to tar it that way. So I hope folks like Samantha Bee continue to talk about it, because they're just promoting the movie.
So, Adam, one of my strategies related to this particular film, because I have not seen it yet, so it's on my plan for this particular weekend.
But
one of the conversations that I've been having with folks who are of a different perspective than I am on this issue and many other issues in the past, they have asked did you see it? They have used that as, like, part of a conversation, and I will say no, but I am willing. I'm willing to watch. I'm willing to listen. Now those tables are turned. I now have something that I can say, okay, did you see it? Because if you didn't see it, I can't actually have a substantive conversation with you about it.
Right.
So
right,
there you
because
go.
You're just arguing from hearsay. And again, there's a question of intellectual honesty and whether you agree. You know, if you're going to say it's propaganda, at least see the movie, and then we can have a conversation, and you can say, well, which part is propaganda? You know, in what sense is this story propaganda? Because it's just it's Abby Johnson's story. She had two abortions. She was pro-abortion for 8 years, you know, and I felt like, you know, with the exception of one character who's depicted kind of like Cruella de Vil, you know, the director of the clinic before her, man, these are really three-dimensional sympathetic characters on both sides. And so It didn't feel like a hit piece to me. It felt really authentic.
All right, let's talk about The Twilight Zone. We got another reboot.
Yeah. Yes, Twilight Zone, because there are no new ideas. There are only old ideas. This is a new TV show. It is on CBS All Access, which is their streaming platform, which, unlike the broadcast platform, has M-rated stuff on it. So it's closer to HBO than what you think of as CBS. And this is being done by Jordan Peele of This Is Us, not This Is Us, and Get Out are his two big movies. And he has really, really, really tried to be faithful to the vibe of the original and succeeds in that. But unlike the original, the stories he's telling have a lot of graphic M-rated content in them in terms of violence and language. And so I think those who fondly remember Rod Serling inviting us into the Twilight Zone, this Twilight Zone has a lot of content in it and might just be better to take a pass on this one.
All right. And then tell me what's going on in music that I need to know about.
Oh, in the land of music, we have some really interesting things going on. One young woman who has been around a little while but has just caught, just in the last couple months, everything has aligned for her, is her name's Billie Eilish. And she is a California teen who did this song as an assignment called Ocean Eyes a couple years ago, and it just blew up. And so 2 years ago, she did what's called an EP. And for non-music people, it's sort of like an album, only shorter, stands for extended play, and released that. And her new album just came out this week. And she's hard to even pin down. You haven't heard anybody who sounds like Billie Eilish. And she's dealing with depression. She's dealing with some pretty heavy themes. But she also has kind of a horror-ish vibe. Her music is pretty seriously creepy. And we reviewed the EP last week, and our review of her new album will be up later today for people to check out. But she is somebody who I think a lot of teens are going to relate to. She's not got this sort of sex kitten vibe like, say, an Ariana Grande. She seems like a pretty normal teen in a lot of ways, except that her music is really dark. And it's a blend of pop and rock and EDM. So even stylistically, it's hard to pin down. Her new album is called When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? And the whole thing kind of plays like a nightmare. So I think especially for kids who tend to see themselves as outsiders, who maybe, you know, don't identify with the popular kids or the cool kids, I could really see her becoming kind of the patron saint, if you will, of that sort of outsider person. I think she's somebody they're going to identify with, and she's on track to have the second biggest album debut of the year. So definitely somebody to pay attention to.
All right. So Billie Eilish, and for folks who would want to Google that, Eilish, but you can read the plugged in review of her extended play, her EP from a couple of years ago. It's already posted at pluggedin.com. Yep. And the review of When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Will be up later today at Plugged In. So, Adam, again, thank you for watching and listening to a bunch of stuff that, frankly, I don't want to watch or listen to, and for helping us as Christian adults and parents and grandparents be able to guide and direct our kids. Because, right, I can now respond to conversations by at least asking better questions about what young people are watching and listening to. So thank you so much for what you do every day to help us. We appreciate it.
You are welcome, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, okay. So next week we are doing this thing called Share, where our listeners get to share,
right?
And then the week after that is Good Friday. So I don't know. You and I are going to talk again soon, but I'm not promising exactly when that will be. Yeah, sometime soon. Okay,
Fair enough. Right. Yeah, bye.
Bye. Hey, friends, I'll be right back. So as you are walking your faith out into the world today, so am I. And so here at the close of another week, I like to circle back around and visit some headlines that maybe we didn't get to. And when there is breaking news on a Friday morning that, you know, that I think we need to give a little attention to. So that's what I'm going to do here at the close of today's program. I am going to be talking with you about this ongoing continuous revelation received by the leader of the church of Latter-day Saints, formerly known as the Mormons, which they, by direct revelation, have asked us to not call them anymore, but that they have this ongoing and continuous revelation of God. We're going to talk about whether or not God changes his mind. I am also going to talk about what I'm doing this weekend and encourage you to be reading in anticipation of the conversations you are likely to have out there in the culture. So that's up next. You're on Mornings with Carmen. So next week, April 9th to the 12th, we are going to be engaged in what we call Spring Share. And so that means that we are not going to do what we normally do here during this program time. Instead, we're just going to be talking about, you know, how it is that this program and others on the Faith Radio Network encourage you, how they help you walk your faith out into the world, you know, ways in which we've helped equip you. Maybe you have entered one of our drawings and you have received a book that we've given away. Maybe you'd like to give us some feedback on, hey, I read that book and here's how I used it and then how God used it in my life, not only to change the way I think, but maybe to change the conversations with which I'm engaged. However it is that we have, through this programming and the programming of this network and what we offer online as resources at myfaithradio.com, we really want to know how your life has been impacted, by all of that. And so we need your stories so that we can share them on air during Share Week. Here's how you go about doing that. You either call 877-933-2484 and share your share story, or you can email me your share story, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can give a couple of sentences, or, you know, man, you can talk for paragraphs, whatever you want to do. Share with us in order that we can share with others how it is that this ministry is impacting your life.
You ever play hide and seek as a kid? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. When you're young, hide and seek is a great game to play with friends and neighbors. You always check the usual hiding places first, and if no one is there, you look somewhere else. Well, sometimes our teens can feel like they're playing a game of hide and seek with the things that they need most, like love, relationship, and value. They try at home with mom and dad, and if they can't find what they're looking for there, they start looking someplace else. Are you giving your son or daughter the love and relationship and value they need today? If they don't get it from you, they'll step outside the home until they satisfy their needs somewhere else.
Parenting Teens isn't for the faint of heart. Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
So what do you have planned for this weekend? What's on the family agenda? What's on your personal agenda? What are you working on? I don't know if this is true of you, but I have things on my calendar that I just keep moving forward. Like, oh, I didn't get to that yesterday, so I moved it to today. And it doesn't look like I'm going to get to that today, so I'm going to move it to tomorrow. So one of the things on my personal calendar and schedule that I just keep moving forward is something calendar that's described as write and record Reconnect Ones. Reconnect Ones are these 1 minute commentaries that I do that they actually air on like 450 stations across the country, and they repost like mid-month. And so in order for them to be posted mid-April, you know, since today's April the 5th, I got to get those done, right? And so I will definitely this weekend be working on Reconnect Ones. I'm planning to see the Unplanned movie. I'm planning to patronize in a positive way Chick-fil-A because they've been banned from the second airport in 2 weeks, and that makes me mad and gets me motivated to eat more chicken. I'm planning to till the physical garden in our yard in anticipation of planting the tiny little seedlings that we have sprouting in our greenhouse because the time has come where I live to do that, which is the promise of spring everywhere else. I also intend to till the garden of my mind and to till the garden of the culture around me. Like, right? That's God set us in a garden. I want you to think about that as the primary description of culture in Scripture. God describes it as a garden. He designed us to be people who till the garden. And so what does it look like to be tilling the garden of culture today? What does it look like for you to be removing the rocks? What does it look like for you to be enriching the soil? What does it look like for you to be planting the seed? What does it look like for you to be tending to the tender roots? What does it look like for you to be, just engaged in culture in a way that treats it like a garden? I mean, you know, if you don't like what's being produced in the culture, then you as a gardener need to engage in ways that that down the road bear the promise of a harvest of righteousness for God. So there you go. Those are some of the things I'm going to be engaged in this weekend. Some of the headlines that are screaming at me, I am going to pay attention to this weekend in anticipation of talking about those headlines with you next week. And so let me rattle off a few. I am going to be reading some things on the Christian Post, including an article by ex-transgender Walt Heyer about his view of what's going on in our sort of transgender crazy culture, and a piece on the National Review called The Trans Child Experimental Guinea Pig. Yeah, that one, right? That's intriguing, right? That's some clickbait for me. There is a post at Christianity Today entitled God Saved Me from Suicide. Karen Swallow Pryor has a piece at Vox.com I intend to read, entitled Abortion Will Be Unthinkable 50 Years From Now. And I'm going to survey some of the abortion bills that are, adoption bills that are now pending before a number of state legislatures across the country. I'm going to give that a little bit of review so that I'll be more prepared for our conversations. Pew has some interesting research posted today at their site that I intend to read over the weekend to prepare me for the conversations which lie ahead. So let me do one headline today, and that is well, you could actually pick it up pretty much anywhere. If you were to Google Mormon right now, if you were to Google Church of Latter-day Saints, what you're going to get is a headline that describes the major shift the Mormon Church has now taken to roll back policies related to people in sexual relationships that go beyond the bounds of heterosexual marriage. So here we're really talking about gay couples, we're talking about LGBTQ people, and we're talking about policies adopted by the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, in 2015, to which people in the church negatively responded. They had like 1,000 people who left the Mormon Church over this issue. And so because the Mormon Church believes in something called continuous revelation, because they believe that God can change his mind and reveal new things in new days, they have now reversed course on that particular policy. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about this, not only this movement of the Mormon Church, the Church of Latter-day Saints, announcing Thursday that it's reversing its policy in relationship to how it talks about people in same-sex marriages and how it deals with their children. But let's also talk about this notion of continuous revelation. Does God change his mind and reveal new things, or is the canon of Scripture closed? Does God mean what he says when he says, don't add anything to this and don't take anything away from it? We're going to answer that question when we come back.
Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now we...
So, is the canon of Scripture closed? Has God revealed sufficiently and completely himself, his will, what he would have for us in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments and fully in the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnate second member of the Trinity? The answer to that question is yes, from my perspective and from the perspective of 2,000 years of church history in terms of most of the major streams of the Christian faith. Enter into this conversation a handful of organizations who recognize something called continuous or continuing revelation. And that is the belief or the position that some theistic being, we will call that theistic being God, although I would say that this is contrary to my understanding of who God is based on the scriptures of the Bible. Continuous revelation or continuing revelation is this theological belief or position that a theistic being continues to reveal divine principles or commandments today. And overwhelmingly most Christian traditions reject that. But it is a belief and a position associated with not only the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormon Church. It is an understanding of the Quakers. So you know them as the Religious Society of Friends or the Quakers. Pentecostal and charismatic Christians also believe in, some of them do at least, in this notion of continuous revelation or continuing revelation. So it's really, this is what this conversation is going to come down to, whether or not the canon of scripture is closed or whether or not God changes his mind and reveals periodically to individuals and through those individuals to the world at large, ongoing continuous revelation, which would mean that in some cases, God has changed his mind on things and therefore has new things to say, because after all, he did not anticipate when he said the things that he said in scripture that, well, things would be like they are today. Now, if you were going to apply this to liberal Christianity, one of the ways of having this conversation is to acknowledge that scripture is really abundantly clear on the boundaries God intends for human sexual relationships. But if you think that you have gotten to the place where you are having experiences, people are in relationships that God could have never anticipated. God wouldn't have thought of that back when the Bible was penned. And so God needs to now reveal that the scriptures don't mean what they very clearly seem to mean and say, that the clear meaning of scripture must be replaced by a human understanding that things have changed so much. History has progressed so far. God was not in a position to anticipate, and the writers of scripture were something less than inspired by God when they wrote it, and therefore we need some new teaching today on, particularly on those matters. The reason I bring that subject up is that is the subject now presenting itself here as new revelation, as a part of continuing revelation in the Mormon Church. And so here's what happened yesterday. The LDS Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they announced that they are changing their 2015 policy, which classified people in same-sex marriages as apostates. And instead, they're removing that language. And they're also saying that children of such quote-unquote marriages, recognizing, first of all, that the LDS Church still does not recognize those marriages as equivalent with heterosexual marriage, because heterosexual marriage is what the LDS Church calls eternal marriage, and a homosexual marriage could never qualify as an eternal marriage under current LDS theology or doctrine, which, of course, is subject to change through this continuous or continuing revelation that the LDS Church believes it receives when the Lord speaks directly to whoever the president is at the time. So, who is the president today of the LDS Church, and does this individual believe that he receives direct revelation from God? Well, the answer to that question is, his name is Richard Nelson. He's 94 years old, and absolutely he believes, and followers of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe, he receives direct revelation from God, and God changes his mind about things, and God then tells this individual what God's new thoughts are on things, and those then must be carried out with the full authority at every level, not only of the LDS Church, but in the lives of LDS members. So trying to explain all of that a few days ago, CNN actually ran an article about the demand that Mormonism and Mormons no longer be referred to as Mormonism and Mormons, but be referred to exclusively with the full name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So let me read to you from that particular article, a few lines. Again, it's posted at CNN.com. You can check it out. Mormon LDS Name Change Revelation. From the article, when the message came during the dark of the night, Richard Nelson reaches for his light and pen. He takes dictation directly from the Lord. Oh, dear, it's happening. The president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints tells his wife, Wendy, I just remain quiet. This is what Wendy says. I just remain quiet. And soon he's sitting up at the side of the table and he's writing. She shares this in a recent church video. She then says, sometimes the spirit prompts me to leave the bed. She says, well, sometimes I'd just rather sleep. Now, I got to tell you, if somebody's receiving a direct revelation from God and I am present, I'm not thinking to myself, you know, I'm a little sleepy. So I'm, of course, going to be critical of this because I don't believe that God continues to directly reveal to individuals anything new. Now, that's not to say that by the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, God is not bringing our hearts and minds and our understanding of things, our perception of reality into ever greater conformity with his revealed will. But that revealed will is already revealed. It's revealed fully and finally in the person of Jesus Christ. It is revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And that canon is closed. And God has said of it himself, nothing should be added to it nor taken away from it. So if you find the revelation of God in scripture insufficient, there are other options out there like the LDS Church, who have the Book of Mormon and its continual adaptation through ongoing revelation, generation to generation, by whoever it is that happens to be the president of that particular organization. So it's important here to say that certainly in the Old and New Testaments, the word prophet and prophecy is talked about. But here's the issue. We have the words of the prophets in the Old and the New Testaments of Scripture. We do not have a quote-unquote living prophet through whom God is now directly speaking to the church. New revelation, continuing revelation. And so what we're looking at in Mormonism is a direct claim of absolute direct revelation, continuing revelation of things about which God has effectively changed his mind from one period of time to another. And so this gets at the very heart of what you believe about who God is, how God communicates, what God hath said, and therefore what God wills. Now, I am not, for those of you who are immediately going to be critical, that I am making of the Bible some kind of paper pope. I am not. I am acknowledging that the revelation of God by his word through the Spirit and in the person of Jesus Christ alone, as the word made flesh to dwell among us, is sufficient. It's sufficient. We don't need more. We need a better understanding of that which God has already communicated about himself, us, and his will. And so when you read things like what the Mormons are saying, God might have different intentions for the church at different times. That's actually baked into the notion of who we are. This is what church leaders are now saying. The church can change because the mind of God can change. And so that's really what's at issue here in the conversation that you need to be prepared for as you enter into these conversations today. All right. Thank you for the input from our friends in Wisconsin. I will read listener comments from Wisconsin in just a minute in relationship to the election of a new federal judge. Okay, so thank you to our listeners in Wisconsin who have been giving their feedback in relationship to the frankly very surprising election of a conservative. So here's just a note from somebody who lives just outside of Madison. We're thrilled that Judge Hagedorn pulled out a victory. We live in a community outside of Madison. We only saw one Hagedorn yard sign, but obviously conservatives who don't feel comfortable expressing their views publicly are out there and they're voting. And so let me just encourage you today to get out there and contribute to the conversations of the day in ways that honor Jesus. You are his ambassador, his agent of grace, his minister of reconciliation. Have a great weekend and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.